Our pericope of Scripture is found in the book of Psalms, particular Psalm 31. Psalm 31, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things, proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. My text is the first part of verse 15, but please keep your Bibles open as we refer to other verses. Verse 15a, my times are in thy hand. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. May he bless the reading and the preaching of it again this evening. This is a psalm of David. A psalm of David as he is fleeing, probably from King Saul. He had been anointed by the Lord, but as he waits for the Lord to give him the kingdom, he has to flee for his life, and even his friends and acquaintances forsake him. Trouble. And David, as we're going to say later on, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which this psalm is a messianic psalm pointing to Christ Jesus and the trouble in his life, forsaken by God on the cross, hated by men, put to death. Trouble. The psalmist mentions it on several different verses. Verse 7, he says, "For thou hast considered my trouble." Again, verse 9, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." What troubles we see in the nation around us today, don't we? I never thought I would see on television the scenes that we have seen. You would think that that was a third world country where there is rebellion against a proper election. But here we have it. Division and fear, even, as finally the installation of the new president will take place. Fear in every state. Trouble in the church. We've been going through it for some years already, and it's not quite done yet, even if classes has met. Trouble in our lives. Maybe some of your members here taken by COVID-19. God using it to take his saints home to himself. Perhaps there's other members here who are in convalescent homes and they cannot see their husband or their wife. They cannot have their children visit them or friends, feeling very isolated and all alone, almost like a prison cell. Troubles all around us. And when we read about time, my times, in our text, we speak of the various circumstances and events in our life, and the Lord speaks to us in those circumstances and in those events in our life, how he speaks sometimes very loudly to us. Perhaps it's a grievous sin that we have fallen into, like David did. Or perhaps it's an illness of yourself or a loved one. Or perhaps it's financial difficulty or the death of a loved one. But God also, through his word, interprets these events. Difficult things in our lives, why is it? What do we do about it? What does it mean? When David fell into his grievous sin, he was hurting within himself when he did not confess it. But that event wasn't enough, was it? God sends his prophet Nathan to him, and he tells the little story about the man who steals his neighbor's sheep. And David has righteous indignation. Who is he? And David has to say, "Thou art the man." May God, by his word, now point his finger to us in our lives now. What does it mean? We look at what the word of God says so that we may learn from the events, the circumstances that take place in our life. As we look back over the past, our sins, our weakness, and make confession of our sin. As we look in the past, we see God's faithfulness to us. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, we'll sing. Or as we look in the future, looking in confidence and in trust and in dependence because his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So my sermon title, when we look at this text, "My times are in thy hand," is a confession regarding our lives. A confession regarding our lives. Notice, it's a confession regarding time. Second of all, it's a confession regarding the Lord's hand. And thirdly, it's a confession then of comfort and hope. Our lives change, don't they? In a couple weeks, my wife and I are going to again experience change in our life, go through the awful process of moving and then establishing a new ministry in another congregation. And when we say the times change, we recognize, first of all, that time is not under our control. I cannot change, I cannot predict even the changes or the circumstances that the new year are going to bring. Many times we would like to be in control of time, wouldn't we? Like I can push the pause button on my CD player or maybe even reverse it. There's times I would like to reverse time. I can remember my mother often saying, "If only we could go back, I would do this or that. I would do it differently." Or as I get older and more feeble, I'd like to push a reverse button so I'd have the energy that I used to have. Neither can I push the pause button to hold things, as it were. Some of you right now with younger children, as you face your young people going into those teenage years, which often are filled with rebellion because the children are trying to assert their own independence. Oh, I bet you'd love to push that pause button. Let's wait a second before we go through those years. Or perhaps you would like to push the fast forward button. I can remember when being in high school and thinking, okay, it's another 4 years of college and then another 4 years of seminary. If only I could push the fast button and be at the point that I could enter into the gospel ministry. Or as I shiver in the cold and the snow outside today, I'd love to push the fast forward button to enjoy the sun and the warmth of summer. But I can't and you can't do that. Time is not under our control. And the psalmist is teaching what we exactly experience. But neither is time in control of our lives. We're not in control of time, but time is not in control of our lives either. It seems that way when we sang in our first song that time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Time is not a vicious cycle that takes and does whatever it wants. Yes, there are the rise of nations and there are the fall of nations. And yes, there is the birth that goes into young people being young children and then maturity and then old age and then the grave. But the time is not fate or chance. Who knows what happens so that we act like a stoic. We say, well, whatever happens, we're going to keep a stiff upper lip. Nor are we like the Epicureans who say, well, chance and fate are there, so eat, drink, and be merry today because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. No, we are making a confession in this psalm. My times are in thy hand. We're making a confession that time is a creature. There is a beginning of time, and there will be an end of time. Time was created by God. It's the very first thing that God created on day one. We read in our Bibles, "In the beginning, God, there time started." And time, created by God, is therefore a servant of God, created by God to carry out God's plans and purposes, which are from eternity. And as time began, so time will also one day end, when there will be no more night, but there will be everlasting daytime. Have you thought about time as God's creature? Maybe one of the greatest creatures of God. As I said, you can't stop it, you can't rewind it, you can't fast forward it. But it's God's creature given to you and to me to serve God's purpose in our lives. Each new day is another opportunity handed to God's people to sing his praises, to learn his and do his will, to live as children of God. Oh yes, time is also a creature of God that is given to the wicked. It is given to the wicked so that they may fill their days with their wicked plots and plans and fill their cup of iniquity, fitting them for the destruction that's going to come. But God's children, given time, are being shaped by their God, are being guided by their God, are being prepared for their place in the new heavens and the new earth. Grab each day. There's a song that says, day by day and with every passing moment, we celebrate we are God's children, given another day to serve him, another year. Many don't want to hear this. They don't want to look back on the past with its difficulties. They fear the future. They want to just live for the day. But there's coming an accounting, isn't there? There is coming an accounting. We read of it in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. We're going to give an account of what we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. My times, a creature, a servant of God, given to us as a gift of opportunities to serve our God. Now notice what the psalmist says here. He says, my times are in thy hand. Did you notice the plural? My times. Because there are seasons of change, isn't there? David is speaking of the variety of times in his life. There was that time when he was that little shepherd boy taking care of his daddy's sheep. There was that time when the prophet Samuel anointed him to be the king over his people. There was the time when he was a soldier in Saul's army. And yes, there was also the time when he had to flee from King Saul, flee for his life, forsaken by his friends. There was the time when he was the king only of Judah and Benjamin. And later on, there was the time when he was also made the king of the other 10 tribes. There was the time when as a king, there were good years. He had a heart for God. He longed for God. He sang his songs to God. But there were also the sinful years when he was filled with pride and committed adultery and murder and the numbering of the people. There was the times when he was forced to flee from his life, from his own son Absalom. And finally, there's a time when he is very old and a young woman is brought to him to even keep him warm in his bed. A variety in the life of David. And so also you and I can speak of the variety of time in the plural in our own lives. different experiences, moods, actions, upheavals, trials, difficulties, troubles. Part of our times is the very nation that we live in, isn't it? That nation has engaged in various battles trying to establish democracy and peace amongst nations. In the last 4 years, it was more of a time of isolation. We don't have to take care of the world's problems. Let's take care of our own. And now with the new president coming in with his vice president, we're also looking at times of great change and reversal, aren't we? Whether it be now again climate changes that they deal with, or abortion, or lifestyles, or involvement with other nations. Our times involve the COVID that affects our nation. And so there's no immigration for a young man who wants to be a pastor in Providence Church, where there's not easy going over the border from Canada, United States. Times as a nation. There's times, plural, in reference to the church. You study church history. There was times of great growth. There were times of controversies, I think of 1924 and 1953. There were times of relative peace and tranquility as churches. And now more recently, troubles. The very way that we're worshiping. There was a time when we couldn't even come to church. Now we sit a row apart. We have masks over our face. And so also there are times in our individual lives, as I said earlier, when we're little children with relatively no cares, or young persons, young adults, thinking about who am I going to marry, who's my life spouse, where am I going to work, what kind of work, do I want to go on to education? There's a time of our life when we're single, maybe remain single all of our life, or there's a time when we become married, and perhaps a time also when our spouse is taken from us. And then comes the senior years that the preacher likes to talk about in Ecclesiastes, when there's troubles physically in our bodies. Troubles. What a variety of circumstances in our lives. And yes, we think of and we pray for, don't we, our dear saints who, because of COVID, are all alone. Or others dealing with a long illness of cancer. Things are not always the same. Things are not steady. They're not easy to predict. And in the past, as a church, we've had those many different times where we would rejoice with young parents as they would have a child. There'd be other times when we would wipe tears from our faces as the family stood around the graveside of a loved one. There are times when we've witnessed young people standing up in the midst of the church and saying, "I love the Lord Jesus and I love His church." There's other times when we've seen young couples joined in marriage. And there's still other times when we've agonized with saints over rebellious spouses or sons or daughters. How well the preacher puts it in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, reading through verse 8. To everything there's a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Variety, troubles. And in this variety of our life, we find, don't we, ourselves as very finite and weak. We cannot control it, subject to these changes that time brings. There's one more thing on this first point of the sermon I want to point out. How very individualistic our text is. Did you notice he makes it very personal? He says, my times are in thy hand. My times. You can't expect it, and you can't escape it. They're not all pleasant, are they? David fleeing for his life. His friends had forsaken him. And we read in verse 9, he says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. Boys and girls, when he talks about his belly, he's talking about there the seat of our emotions. We feel it. We feel those times of change and what they bring, whether it be happiness or sadness and grief. No, we cannot ignore our troubles, because those troubles are there because of sin in our life, because of the wrath of God. The psalmist points that out, doesn't he, in Psalm 90. While God is everlasting, our life is filled with trouble and sorrow. Listen to him a moment. Thou carriest them away with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They're like grass which groweth up in the morning. It flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it's cut down and withereth. We are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Sin. My times. David is admitting then, and you and I with David, that there is this variety in our very life. Our very life is filled with these circumstances and these troubles. So how do we face that in this new year again? I think the troubles of this past year, how many haven't said good riddance to the old year? It could be that the new year will be more troublesome for some of us. What can we do? What can we do when we face these trials and these difficulties and these sorrows in our life? We are finite. We are weak. We are troubled. We can't stop it. My times, good and bad. My times, easy and also difficult. My times, happy but also sad. My times, whether it's a brief moment or whether it's a dragged out hours and days, my times, whether healthy or sick, whether prosperous or financially having difficulties, this great variety, our days are passed away in trouble. What can we do? Well, notice, we have here now a confession only about time, namely that it is God's creature, God's servant, giving us opportunities to serve him, a great variety of them, and they're mine. I recognize them. We now come with a confession. My times are in thy hand. Thy hand. The psalmist is using here anthropomorphisms. Boys and girls, that big word, anthropomorphisms, simply means God is pleased to take earthly things that are around us, to show us heavenly realities. And here, he's taking a human being and their life and things out of our life, or out of our body, really, to picture God's care and God's work in our lives. Did you notice that he said in Psalm, in verse 2, bend down thine ear to me, the ear. Then in verse 15, he says, my times are in thy hand. Then in verse 16, he says, make thy face to shine upon me. Now, God is a spirit. So it means God doesn't have an ear. God doesn't have a hands. God doesn't have a face. But those are anthropomorphisms so that we can look at the earthly and know more, can understand better the being and the work of our God. So let's look at our hand. My times are in thy hand. God gave us our hands not just so that we are able to use them for ourselves, but to point to him. With our hands, we hold something. With our hands, we grab hold of something and cling to it. With our hands, we point out the direction. You got to go this way or you got to go that way. Or with our hands, we can put a stop to something. Oh, hold it, no more. May our hands be a picture of our God in control of all events and circumstances in our lives. He holds us in his hand. Oh, the strength of the hand, the power of the hand, the ability of the hand and the arm of God. And his control now for all things. God, who has designed our hands, the importance of our hands, the purpose of our hands, the power of our hands, to say something about God's strength, God's power, God's control and direction, and even God's love. For we talk about the hand as the hand of our Father in heaven, don't we? And that's where the hands of you parents are so important. When you raise your hand up, may it not ever be of our families that the children shirk away in fear, because the hand is going to rip through with anger. But that loving hand of parents holding the little child, pressing them to their breast, leading, directing, as God's children, we know our Father in heaven, his hand. My times are in thy hand. God is in control. God controls all those circumstances then in our life, directs them in our life. We call that, don't we, in Lord's Day 10, young people, God's providence. God's providence. God not only created all things, including time, but now he controls it and he guides it so that it accomplishes his purposes and plans. I don't control my times. God is able to control my times. So implied in our confession, my times are in thy hand, it's that God is in the Creator. And God is in control of my life, the past and the future, the good things, the bad things. There's a purpose to draw us closer to himself. Think a moment of David. Between the second book of Samuel, and then if you go to Chronicles, we read that Satan tempted David to number the Israelites. Satan tempted David in his pride to say, look at my armies. They've defeated the enemies before and they'll do it again. But we read elsewhere that it is God who caused David to count the people because he was angry with Israel and Judah. He was angry with his people. God was in control of that sin in their life. God wasn't the author of the sin. The pride of David was there. But God was in control of that period, that bad thing in his life also, in order to teach him, to shape him, to teach him to trust in God, to humble him. There he's sitting all the time in his palace, so full of pride of himself and what his army is able to do, he's not even leading them any longer himself. My times are in thy hands. In those times, God knows them all. What do we read in Psalm 90, verse 4? For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. God knows all the events of our life and the things that he brings us through. God is sovereign. He rules over our time. Time is his servant. There's also a lot of comfort in that confession. My times are in thy hand. That means that God knows each of us individually, doesn't he? And God knows the troubles that are maybe keeping you awake at night. He knows the tears that sometimes you shed and no one else can see. He knows your insecurities, your weaknesses. Amazing thought. God who rules in the heaven condescends, and he knows each of his elect children. And he also then likewise knows each of the wicked also and places different things in their life. I said, that's comforting. His eye is upon us and his ear is open to our cry so that his face shines upon us and his hand is moved to help us. Even as a shepherd had to know each of his sheep in order to deal with them. I remember being raised on a dairy farm. We had about 60 milking cows. We knew each of their individual names. We knew what they were like, what they had to have for feed or for milking. Our God knows each one of us individually so that he can best lead and direct and shape us and prepare us for our glory in heaven. What a beautiful thought. My times are in thy hand. Now, in the Hebrew, literally, it's put the other way. It begins with God. In the Hebrew, we would read, in thy hand are my times. Can you see your life held in by God in his hand? You yourself held there lovingly. That's what's so terrible about some of the teaching about providence. There are elements in the church who would say, the bad things that happen in our life, they don't come from God. No, no, no. Those bad things don't come. They come from Satan. Do you know what that means? That means that if you are right now isolated in your room all by yourself, that means if you've got bone cancer, that means that if your spouse has forsaken you, you are literally in Satan's hand. Not a loving hand, but a hand that will squish you like one would squish a bug. The psalmist confesses. By God's grace, he confesses it. In thy hand is my life. And sometimes that hand of God is like the hand of our parents rebuking us. And boys and girls, you feel at times the hand of your loving parent as on your backside. So in our lives also, we will feel God's hand as he is shaping us, as he is chastising us, as he is bringing us closer to himself. In thy hand are my times. What confidence there is in that. Always, always he holds us in his hand. As the psalmist says explicit in this psalm, do not let me into the hand of my enemies. In fact, he says in the next part of verse 15, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, from them that persecute me. Jesus spoke of this, didn't he? In John chapter 10, he is bringing comfort to his disciples. We read in John 10, verse 27 and following, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Beloved, there's the answer in the troubles that maybe you have experienced in the past, or the troubles that you might experience in this coming year. Whether it be the troubles in the nation, whether it be the uncertainties and the troubles in the church today, God is in control. His powerful hand controls all things, all events, and he controls each of us. We are in my Father's hand. What safety. And therefore, there will be that final deliverance from the troubles of this life to when there is no more sorrow or pain or suffering or temptation, or sin, or death. So, beloved, thirdly, then, what does this mean for us? As I said, there's always going to be changes in our life. It is not going to be static. There will be trials that you and I have to face. Those trials, beloved, those troubles are by God's appointment. He knows what we need. There's a prayer that I used to always say, but it's a dangerous prayer. That prayer would say, Lord, give me whatever I stand in need of. Boys and girls, would you dare say that to your parents? Give me whatever I stand in need of. Because sometimes what I would be in need of is a swift kick in the backside or the hand on my backside, huh? And so when we say to our Father in heaven, give me whatever I stand in need of, am I too proud? He'll humble us. And yes, beloved, I think that through the troubles in the church today, that is what God is doing, humbling us. How many times haven't I heard people rather in pride looking down their nose at other denominations or churches and saying, we have the truth. I'm thankful for the truth that we have. But we're not saved by truth, are we? Truth is important, but we're saved by a living faith in Jesus Christ. He's humbling us. He's humbling us. God works all things, whether it be in the nation right now, which is shaky, whether it be in the church with the troubles, whether it be the trials of COVID right now in our own personal lives. Humbling us. The Dutch have a phrase, maybe you've heard it. We're not stubborn, we're just right. I'm afraid that attitude has also crept into our churches. We're right. No one else is. May God humble us. May God humble us. May he strengthen us in our godly character. Shape us more in the image, his image, and the image of his Son. And in the changes in our life, second of all then, briefly, we admire the unchanging God, don't we? We admire the unchanging God. I'm thinking again of Psalm 90 that I quoted from. Thou art from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. There the psalmist in Psalm 90, while looking at the generations of men as they come and they go, God. God is always there. He changes not. And because he is never changes, his counsel never changes. His attitude toward his people never changes. His covenant is not broken. He doesn't take it away. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. There's a third thing. May our text be a solemn warning to us. My times are in thy hand. What am I doing with my day and my moments? And what will changes do to me? I think of several young men who raised in the church. They sang God's praises. Some of them were the best kids in catechism. And all of a sudden they go off to college and they learn some other ideas. And all of a sudden they say, I'm an agnostic. I don't know, any longer believe it. The preacher says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. Yes, there will be changes. There will be trials. There will going to be difficulties. But don't despair then. Don't act like Job's wife when difficulty was given to Job and she said, curse God and die. No. Remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. God is on his throne. He reigns over everything. He changes not. He is going to direct all things for the salvation of his people, of each of us individually as his people. So then fourthly, and I want application here. I want you to go home and say, wow, that text, it speaks to me, and I'm comforted. Comforted in all seasons and times. I'm going to uproot my wife from the life that she lived now the last couple years, 10 years, I think, right around our children, and we're going to go move away a ways. Those who are going through the COVID problems, will you be sick next week? Will you catch it from someone else? Others have stood by the graveside of a loved one. There's comfort. Oh, we have tears there, don't we? But not the tears of those who have no hope. With confidence, we're able to say, my loved one was a believer in Jesus Christ, and death, rather than being an enemy, is now a servant, taking my loved one, my parent, my wife, my spouse, my child, home to glory with him. Yes, notice what David begins this psalm with. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. That's what we have to say in our troubles, in the changes of our life. Verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Notice, not only is he very personal when it comes to his times or changes, he's very personal, isn't he, about God. Thou art my God. That's a covenant phrase. God is my God, and I am by grace his child. I put my trust in thee, O Lord. Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. And fifthly, may there then be hope and trust as we continue our pilgrimage here on earth. Hope and trust. That's how this psalm ends, this psalm about trouble. He says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Be of good courage. A smile on your face. Yes, there's going to be adversity. Yes, there's going to be tears. But I know who's in control. And I know I'm in his hand, and all the events of my hand are shaping me, preparing me to take me and ready for the new heavens and the new earth. Come, Lord Jesus. Yea, come quickly. Amen. Father in heaven, what a beautiful confession. A beautiful confession of thy servant David in the various times of his life. And now, Lord, also our confession. It's ours because we believe in Jesus Christ, and because this whole psalm is about Jesus Christ, who endured troubles and sorrows because he stood in our place. Our Lord Jesus, who's quoted this text, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit." Yes, Lord, undeserved. That's what makes all the difference between the wicked who grow in their sin and thy saints who are shaped and prepared for glory. My times are in thy hand. Lead me, O Lord, then. Hold me, preserve me. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.